It is. Okay. So let's see. Today's April 22nd, 2003, and we're going to do lesson number 54 called Differentiation of Eyes, Head, and the Back While Twisting. I mean, these titles, I know. While twisting. Turning, twisting. So we're veering a little bit from the circles. So take a moment to lie on your back. Where are you going now? And observe how you're resting on your back this morning. Notice how your shoulder blades are lying on the floor. How your mid-back and lower back and pelvis is lying on the floor. And how your legs are lying on the floor. Now bring your attention back up to your pelvis and just sense how each side of your pelvis is resting there. And observe and notice if one side feels like it's resting heavier or closer to the floor. Or perhaps your perception is that one side is raised away from the floor. And then draw your attention back up to your shoulders and your scapulas and observe the same concept with your scapulas. And if one shoulder or scapula feels higher on one side of your pelvis, are they higher on the same side or different sides? So if it's a feeling or sensing of being on the same side, you could actually feel as if you're rolling or falling over to the other side. So if the left shoulder and the left side of your pelvis feel as if they're up a little bit more, it's as if you're kind of rolling or tilting over to the right. Does that make sense? Good. And now bring your attention up to your head. First, sensing where you make contact with the backside of your head. And then begin to roll your face to the left and to the right. Go slow enough so you can sense the quality of the movement, the ease of the movement, how smooth the movement is. And does it feel easier to roll your head to one side compared to the other? And if so, is there any relationship to what you felt in the shoulder girdle area and the pelvis? Good. And then bring it back to the center and just take another moment to rest on your back. Okay, let's roll to your side and you're going to come up to sitting. Sit with your legs crossed in front of you and just notice how you prefer to cross your legs. Everybody does have a preference and that's fine, just to become aware of it. And place your hands right on what some of you are going to think your waistline or where the top edge of the iliac crest of the pelvis is on each side. Your fingers are forward in front of you, and the thumbs are on the back side of your waist, right? Okay, so your elbows are kind of pointing out to the side. And keeping your face, your head, and your eyes orientated forward. That means looking out in front of you on the horizon. So pick a spot today to just kind of gaze at so that you don't get distracted by me walking in front of you or anybody else, but you learn to just have a gaze out onto the horizon. And now with your shoulder blades and the trunk, begin to turn that part of yourself to the right, only as far as you can, and then come back.
Do you want to keep your head forward?
Your head stays forward. Head, eyes, that's why you gaze on the horizon. So you only move the shoulders and the trunk. And your head and your eyes stay forward. So that's why you want to pick something to look at. It's a lot harder than one thinks. So go very slow. Create a soft focus with your eyes. That's it. Turn the shoulders and the trunk. And it's not important to go as far as you can to the right. It's just important to just get the sense of the movement, that you can differentiate your head and your eyes from your shoulders. That's it. Good. Right. Good. Now come back to the center. And now this time, just once or twice, go ahead and turn your whole shoulder girdle area again with your head and your eyes. So everything can turn to the right now. Just a couple times and feel what that's like. Okay, let's rest on your back. Roll to your side, come back up to sitting. Once again, cross your legs. Hands in the same position. And this time you're going to keep your trunk and shoulders forward, but you can turn your head and your eyes to the right. That's nice. And again, just really go very slowly and gently. Be aware of the moment that your shoulders want to start to participate, and that is your signal that you've gone far enough. Because some of you are doing the movement way too fast with your head, and so you're not even aware that your shoulders are already kicking in. Better. Now this next time, as you come back to center, keep everything to the center, face, chest, shoulders, take just your eyes to the right. Very good. Slow. Good. And pay attention to whether or not both eyes go to the right, or is it dominant with your right eye or perhaps the left eye? Good. Okay, and let's rest on your back. Roll to your side, come up to sitting again. Same position with your legs crossed and your hands on your hips. And then this time, go ahead and turn everything to the right. Again, only going as far as it's truly comfortable. And pay attention as you're turning everything to the right. Is there a tendency for your head to get ahead of your shoulders and your chest? So that it means by the time you're somewhere over to the right, your nose starts looking over your right shoulder and it's no longer lined up with your sternum. See, this is how much you require turning to be done in your neck and your eyes versus your body. So challenge yourself to keep your nose at this point lined up with your sternum so that you really facilitate the movement through your trunk and your shoulders. You kind of refrain your head and neck from being the eager beaver that it is. That's it.
So you never want this?
Not yet.
Okay.
That's the habitual. So I'm putting a constraint on you that I'd like your nose to stay connected to the sternum. So if you just think of your nose and your sternum staying connected, and that perhaps instead of thinking of your shoulders turning, you can think of your sternum turning to the right.
And the eyes stay.
The eyes just go with the face. So again, you don't want your eyes to jump ahead either, because that's their tendency. Now, as that's becoming more familiar, really sense, what is it like? What do you sense in your body when you turn yourself like this? How does it feel to organize the turning from your spine, your center, your core? Good. Now, the next time you turn to the right, and be careful with this, go almost to your end point. So don't crank it to the furthest place, you know. Stop a little less than that, but turn somewhere comfortable to the right where you can hang out and stay there.
And your head.
Everything, the same movement we just did, everything goes to the right to a comfortable spot and you stop. Now, keeping everything there, you can now continue with your head to go further to the right. So now you just, that's your new center. And now I'm allowing you to take the head to look over the right shoulder and then come back to the new place of where you started with the head. Just feel what that range is like in your neck. Pay attention to what you're doing with your eyes. So again, there's a tendency for one to do the movement through their eyes and not connect into the neck. So right now, it's your head and your neck, and your eyes just stay with the movement of your head and your neck. The left hip? Well, if you're turning, you're going to probably feel more weight in your right hip. But you don't want to be doing any extra movement here. No, because once you turn over here, you're just working on this. Okay. Now, keep the head quiet back to your original center over. Let's do this. Let's come all the way back to the center and just pause in sitting for a moment. Okay, hands on your hips again. Gracefully turn everything over to the right and come to that stopping place where you aren't challenging yourself and pressing yourself so that you can continue to breathe. That's it. So just go as far as you can and pause there. And now keeping the chest, the shoulders, and the head there, just move the eyes. So the eyes look further to the right. Not the head, just the eyes. How do your eyes stretch to look further to the right without moving your head or your chest or sternum? Make sure you're still breathing. Okay, very nice. Come back and rest on your back. Hard work, huh? Roll to your side and come up to sitting again. Same position. Hands on your hips, please. And now this time you're just going to turn to the right and you're going to allow everything to turn to the right. More importantly, I'd like you to just to pay attention to, for you, what is your leader? Where do you initiate the movement? I'm not going to suggest to you where to do it. Just turn to the right, just as naturally as possible, and come back to center and just do it several times. And in the process of turning, notice for yourself where, what is dominant for you. Is it your eyes that move first? Is it your neck, and then it becomes your eyes, or is it the trunk? And it's not that any of these places is the right place to turn from or the best. But it's important to understand for yourself what's dominant for you, where you initiate the movement. Now play a little game with yourself. Change the spot of initiation and observe how it affects your turning. So one time you could have the initiation being the sternum. One time it can be your eyes. One time it can be your head. And then ask yourself as you're doing this, which feels perhaps the easiest or that maybe that increases the most range? Okay, you need a rest. Rest. I'll tell you where you do this movement all the time is in your car, driving, needing to look to the right or to the left to look over your shoulder. And if you're only able to use the eyes, what happens is you hit that place they call in a car the blind spot, and you can't really see what you need to see. And if you use your eyes and your head, you get a little further. But if you turn from your entire torso, trunk, you can see all the way behind you. Okay, come back up to sitting. And this time we're going to sit with the legs to the side. So that means both knees, we've done this before, both knees are orientated to the right, the feet swoop around to the left. That's it. One knee in front of the other. That's it. So your right leg is bent in front of your left. So the right leg should be in your crotch. You shouldn't sit on your right foot. Gail, pull your right foot out. There. There you go. Okay. Now in this position, and again, please place your hands on your hips again, your pelvis. and will begin to turn to the right again, thinking of how your chest, your trunk, your head and eyes all go together. But now feel how this sitting position facilitates some kind of movement in the pelvis. So this will be, Sonia, now clear for you that you can turn and that left hip can actually lift up. That's it. So, yeah. So as much as possible, trying to keep your nose orientated with your sternum and that everything's turning to the right as far as you can go comfortably. And feeling in this turning that in a way you actually get taller. If you're really twisting and turning around your spine. Other choices are when you turn, you can also lean. So if you place your right hand along the floor and slide it out away from your pelvis, you could lean on that right arm and turn like that too. So go ahead and lean on your right hand. Slide it even further away from you. That's it. Even more, Susie. Away there and out to the side a little bit, more diagonal. So that's also turning, but then you're leaning onto that right hand. Now bring the right hand back up to rest on top of your iliac crest. And again, think of turning around yourself like a corkscrew. So you grow tall as you turn. Good. Okay, and rest on your back again. And as you're resting now, just observe how you're lying on your back. Does it feel like one side is slightly raised away from the floor now, and the other side is a little flatter? Please roll to your side and come up to sitting in the same way. So that means both knees are directed over to the right. The right foot is bent in front of you, in front of your crotch, placed on the floor. How did you get turned around? There you go. Pull your foot out though so you're not sitting on it. There you go. Okay. Please place your hands on your hips again. And this time, turn again to the right and go to where it's comfortable that you can stay over there. So this is why it's important not to go to the extreme. If you go to the extreme, you'll start holding your breath and tensing. That's nice. Now, keeping there, begin to have your eyes only look to the left. Just your eyes, not your face. Your nose stays connected to your chest, and just the eyes go to the left. And back to the center. There, good. Very nice. Now, let's see if you can add in your head and your eyes go to the left, but you keep everything else to the right. Head and eyes go to the left. And then you bring them back to that starting place over to the right. And then again, your head and your eyes, I often think of it as looking over my left shoulder. I'm going to look over my left shoulder, but I'm not moving my trunk at all. There. very good. Good. Pause for a moment. Just come back to the center, and if you want to change over the crossing of your legs, sit cross-legged, however you need to rest in sitting for a moment. Okay, let's come back to the same position. So that means both of your knees are directed towards the right. The right foot is in between the legs in front of you and your crotch. Your hands are resting on your hips, the iliac crest. That's it. And now this time, as you take your chest, your shoulders, your sternum to the right, can you take your head and your eyes to the left? So as you take your chest and your shoulders to the right, you take your head and your eyes to the left. You're differentiating your head and your eyes from your trunk. That's it, Justin. Good. I know this is challenging for several of you, and I appreciate your attentiveness to go slow. That's it. Good. Good. Now, the next time that you come back to the center, let's take everything over to the right and just feel what the quality of the movement is like now. And you continue with your head and your eyes, even beyond your shoulders and your chest if you'd like. Just see how far can you turn and look now to the right. Good. And let's rest on your back. She's spinning her head around herself now. Just like an owl. I'm trying to remember the reason that the owl can do that, and I think it's the number of vertebrae that they have in the neck.
Can they literally
Yes. go around more than... They can do a 360. Uh-huh.
But they can't go further than 360.
No. There's something really, I'm trying to think, but I think, shoot, I think it also has to do with bones though. I don't, yes, and I'm trying to think, maybe they don't even have, maybe they, do they have bones in their neck? I'm trying to think if owls even have. I don't think owls have bones. No. I mean, do they? Don't say sure they do, because when we went to this presentation, it was like shocking about, I think it was about the owl that, or maybe it just, that's the only place that it has it, or has very... I think they have just, maybe it's the amount of bones.
If they have more vertebrae than other animals, they're going to be able to differentiate.
Yeah. I think it's that, but I think that they also have fewer bones in other, places or whatever. So, anyway.
Their heads fall off.
Their heads fall off?
Yeah. They're still on
what holds them up?
The spine. If they didn't have bones, then their heads fall off.
I know. I'm trying to think what it is. Well, I'm trying to think what it is that doesn't have the bones. Well, I know spiders don't. Spiders don't have bones. So that's one. Anyways.
No,
I'll have to do my research with the animals again. I just am always in awe about these things, you know. Like the zoo thing this weekend with the little baby kangaroo. What do they call it? Starts with a W. The other wallaby. And when they're born, they're the size of a peanut.
Yeah.
And they're born right in the sack, yeah. And did you know that a possum comes from the same family? Learned that this weekend. Okay, roll to your side again. Come back to sitting with your legs cross-legged in front of yourself. Hands on your hips. And from this position, just a couple of times, turn everything to the right. And just feel what it's like to turn to the right now. What's changed in the way that you turn to the right? Is it easier? Can you go further? As Linda's head spinning around herself like the owl. See, this is why you have to come next week, because you're going to find out. I'm going to do all my research on the owl, what it is. Good. Now, turn the shoulders and the waist and everything to the trunk, to the right, but take your head and your eyes to the left in this configuration. So again, another way of thinking of it is that you're looking over your left shoulder. And does that interrupt your breathing and your breath? So as you get more comfortable with the movement, that's it, Sonia, begin to regulate your breathing. Good. Now come back to the center. Pause for a moment. Just rest in sitting. Change over your legs again so that the knees are to the right and your feet are swooped over to the left. Place your hands on your hips and turn everything to the right as far as it's comfortable and stay there. That's it. Now, you're going to keep your chest and your eyes and your trunk orientated to the right, but you're going to turn your head to the left. Eyes need to stay over there. Eyes stay to the right. Yep. So how do you keep your eyes? So pick a spot to focus on, a soft gaze, and find a way to just move the head. So even if it's like a half an inch. Because if you go too fast and too far, your eyes are so tied in, they're so wired to move with your head that you'll miss this opportunity. It's so hard. Yeah, I know. It's a real challenge.
We're not supposed to move
our head. No, you're not supposed to move your eyes.
I know, but
so you just pick something to focus on over there. One of the lines in the mirror or something. And you do not leave that spot. This is often what dancers learn to do. This is how they create balance when they turn, is that they pick a spot to look at and then they're able to move their whole body, spin it, and find that spot again.
So should we not move our head if our eye can't stay on that spot?
Oh, you can move your head a little bit, Susie.
No, I know, but not past where your eye
is. Yeah, don't go past. Only do as much as you can keep your eyes gazed and then regulate your breathing. Good. Now come back to the center and just a couple of times turn over to the right and go as far as you can to the right. Just do it in any old way that you want to turn to the right and just see what it feels like now. That's it. Very nice. And come back to lying on your back and rest. I'll tell you another situation where you actually do this, but you don't think you do this, is people that hold a phone. This will sound familiar, Linda. They hold a telephone like with their shoulder and their head, so that's kind of locked in, and then they might be looking for something, you know. So, no, but you see people doing these things, you know, you think that, you know, there's not times that you go into these states of using yourself, but there are times when people do that. Or if for some reason somebody's had a severe car accident and whiplash and they need to be in a neck brace, they have to learn high levels of differentiation with their eyes, or perhaps with your situation, right? Being in the brace, that you learn to really, you couldn't turn here, and so you learn to use, do everything with your eyes to look. Roll to your side, come up to sitting with your knees over to the right, your feet turned to the left, so that means the right foot is turned into your crotch, that's it. Hands on your hips again. And now turn everything to the right, again to a place where it's comfortable for you to stay to the right. And now begin to make a circle with the top of your head. So we did circles last week with our nose. So now you're drawing a circle on the ceiling with the top of your head. And you're over to the right. Good. Now, are you making the circle with just the top of your head, or is it reflecting down into your trunk? Is it vibrating through the rest of you? So involve your pelvis, that's it. So the initiation of the movement is with the top of your head, but you allow, that's it, Danielle, the pelvis and the ribs. Much better, Gail. Otherwise, your neck will be very fatigued. So, Justin, do the circle just on the ceiling. And do it more so that the center, this hot word right now, core, is related to the top of your head. Because the way you're doing it right now is you're doing this with your head and neck. So hopefully you're learning a lot these few classes that you use your neck so much. That's why your neck hurts. Because you use your neck so much, but you don't move from here. So top of the head is doing the drawing, but the whole self is following the drawing. You're not bending the neck forward and back. Does that make sense? You're doing fine. Sometimes when I say things, I get you off gears. That's better. So now draw the circle with your pelvis. See if that makes a difference. Is that easier? And then the top of your head's the follower? Okay. So you're all breathing again now. Good. Now keep, beautiful, keep that going. That's it. Draw the circle more for you, Justin, with your pelvis. Even more. That's it. Push your belly. You've got the backside, but this forward side. Push your belly out. Push it towards me. There. That's it. Then you can round back. And then come over here. And then push the, no, see now what you're doing is leaning yourself forward. You do it from here, you put, uh-huh, that's what you do. Push the belly out, that's it. And now feel the head doing the circle. Yes? Good. Now, can you change the intention so that the top of your head is the director now, but you get the exact same experience? Can your pelvis follow your head? And some of you have changed directions, which is a great idea. So make the circle in the other direction. Justin's like, okay, too many changes. Better, but now you're back to tilting. Don't lose sight of the belly. Push that belly now out, 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 out. That's what brings you forward. Not that you tilt here. You do it all from your belly. Okay, pause. Watch Linda for a minute. Danielle does it really well, too. Watch both of these guys. You guys both stay up. So there's two people to gaze at. So start the circle with the pelvis. And watch what she does, Justin, with her pelvis. And what's really amazing is Danielle does it so beautifully, and she was in a brace for years for scoliosis. She had no capacity to bend her spine. So she has maximum usage of her pelvis. She learned how to move really well in her hips and pelvis. You see that? So you see how she stays right over herself and her head, you know, versus can you not move your pelvis, Danielle, and then tilt your whole body forward and back. Don't move your pelvis. And now tilt back. Do you know how to tilt? So you're bored. Pretend you're bored just like when you had your body brace on. Okay. Now, if you want to bring your head forward, how are you going to do it? You have to bend everything like a board forward. No?
The whole body. The whole
body. Ah, there. And now go the other way. That's it. Do you see that, Justin? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Yeah? Is everybody? So this is just pivoting. One's pivoting inside of the hip joints. But you're not moving the pelvis and the spine relative to the hip joints. Okay? And you tend to go more into that pivot thing. Okay, everybody, let's try it again. In fact, everybody try the pivot way. So you don't move your spine or your head. You're bored, right? And you just pivot everything forward. And like a weeble wobble. Notice what that does in the center of you. If you begin to feel very tight, as if you have to hold around the sternum. Yes? Can you feel that? Because that's where your balance. This is the only part about core stability that I'm fighting, is because many people interpret this new topic as this. And that becomes dangerous. Because if you're a weeble wobble like this, you're going to hurt yourself. The odds of you hurting yourself. So it's a very tricky concept. Now, right? Because if somebody, or when you're older, this is how elderly people move too. They're bent over. And everything's like this. And if something, if the street slopes, they do this. The sidewalk goes down, the whole body goes down. Right? Then the fear of falling. Okay, let's go back now to your pelvis, making the circle, and the top of your head follows. And feel how different this feels in your sternum, in your back, in your chest. How much lighter and freer you feel, yes? Now, do you think it's possible that you can continue to make this circle and that you could swing your legs out in front of you and switch your legs to the other side? Ah, there you go. There, yeah. Yeah, now keep going and see if you can do it again. So where do you balance? That's it, to be able to do that. That's it, Linda. Right. Now you want to orientate your chest a little bit over the legs, a little to each side once you swing. But you can be basically forward. It's more than I'm just adding in another concept to the lesson. Now go back to the board experience. Tilt forward and back.
And then make a switch.
And then try to switch.
Fall over.
Of course, Danielle's very good at this because she was in that state for a long time. You can do it, But what I want you to realize from it is the amount of tension and holding that's required. Okay, rest on your back. Everybody rest. Okay, come up to sitting. Legs to the right one more time. Turn everything to the right. Go as far as you can. Your hands are on your hips and stay there. And staying turned over there now, begin to tilt your right ear lobe, your right ear down to your right shoulder. And then bring the left to the left shoulder. That's it. So now you're tilting. Now as you do the movement just a few more times, observe if the tilt is just happening in your neck, or do you actually tilt in your pelvis as well? So see if you can do the movement now with your ribs and your spine. So another way of thinking of it is that as you bend the ribs, let's say to the left, they squeeze down to the left, you bring your left earlobe down, that's it. And as you bring the right earlobe down, you think of squeeze, that's it, Justin. Good. That's it, Linda.
That's it, Ben.
Well, you were doing it from the beginning. Okay, good. Come back to the center now, all the way to the center. And now just a few times, turn to the right and feel how far you can turn to the right and look over the right shoulder and go further with your head and your eyes as far as you want and come back. Just see how that's feeling. Very nice. And now the next time you come back to the center, place your legs in the Indian style position, how we started, with your hands on the iliac crest on your hips. And again, turn yourself to the right just to observe what the movement is like now, the ease of turning like this. And maybe you'd like to even see what it's like to go to the left. Even though we haven't done anything with the left, it will transfer over. So when you leave here, perhaps you can remember this, like driving in the car, and the next time that you need to look over your left shoulder, can you turn? And people often think it's the seatbelt that restricts you. It's not about the seatbelt. You restrict you. Your shoulder girl, I mean, you wouldn't believe what I can do in the car with me as like, I need this, or things are flying around. And I mean, I have to turn my body so much and I never leave my eyes from the road. It's like twisting and turning my entire shoulder girdle to like reach for something back here or give her something. But my eyes are here. So this is a very useful lesson for driving and being able to feel how you can move. You can move under the seatbelt. People are in this illusion that it's not that tight pulled across you, that it's like strapping you in and you can't move at all. There's a little give in there. So when you leave here, this would be a perfect time for you to play around with what we learned in here today. Does that make sense? And you'll be amazed how far you can see back. You know, if you need to parallel park or whatever, and you really need to turn. Turn from your entire self. Most tension and neck pain comes from people just turning with their neck and not organizing the entire self. Okay, rest again on your back. So just take a moment now to observe how you're lying on your back. How do you sense your shoulder blades, your mid-back, your lower back, the pelvis? Can you remember in the beginning I asked you to observe if either shoulder or either side of your pelvis felt higher or lower? And how has that changed now? Very gently roll your head a little bit to the right and to the left. And now just feel what it's like to roll your head to each side, the quality of the movement. So your neck becomes so much freer when it experiences the rest of yourself moving with it. So the muscles in the neck learn to let go. They don't have to hold so hard and tighten. So it feels much freer, softer, smoother. Good. Okay, so go ahead and roll to your side, come up to sitting and then standing. See how it feels in standing. How your head and your neck feel on top of your pelvis and your trunk. And even in standing, you can begin to... I was actually going to do this. So in standing, begin to turn and look to the right. And again, see and feel how your shoulders, that's it, how you're moving your pelvis. And then can you look to the left? That's it. How far can you look now behind you? And really feel how your sternum is the director in many ways. The further that your sternum can go, the further the rest of you can turn. That's it. Great. Good. And walk around and see what it's like in walking. This is a good one for you. You're so much more upright. Good. Okay. Very nice. So everybody have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Okay.